Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at Wisconsin-made distilled spirits with Philippe Coquart. He is the winemaker of the award-winning Wollersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin. It's recently started making spirits the last few years now, and we're going to talk about them today, especially their brandy and two of which are going to be released this weekend, actually. So you may have tried a locally made brandy. Maybe you tried Coquart brandy. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. What's your favorite way to drink it? Join in, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Philippe Coquart, welcome back.
Hello, Larry.
It's, you know, brandy, what are we, do we lead the nation? I think we're something, average consumption or something.
Yes, we are leading the nation. I think Corbel brandy export, if we can say that, 42 or 45% of their production just to Wisconsin.
Just comes straight here.
So it's rooted in tradition to with the brandy old-fashioned, so...
Well, yeah, the brandy Manhattan, the brandy Old Fashioned, those are the two drinks you hear many, many times if you're out for an evening out on the town for dinner. Well, so how did you know? I can see why, with the kind of consumption we have, you'd be interested in spirits.
And you know what's interesting? It goes for us in our case. It goes back to 25 some years ago when.
Yeah.
Bob Wollersheim and I would told each other, man, it would be nice if we could make our own Wisconsin cognac. And then back then the law was not allowing Wisconsin wineries to become distilleries. As of 2009, the law changed, allowing winery to be able to have a distiller's license and distilling. So there are quite a few distilleries in the state of Wisconsin. I would say close to 26 or 30.
Oh, that
double, many. Almost doubled in 1 year. And when we have about 105 wineries. So distilling is in right now. It's becoming big. Quite a few breweries are setting up shop with distilleries, wineries, and standing distilleries making only still spirits. So from vodka to potato vodka and bourbon whiskey and so on.
What's a distiller? You know, when you say, all right, we're distillers, what is that process about?
Distilling is concentrating the alcohol. And the easiest and best way to do so is boiling the liquid, evaporating the alcohol, because it evaporates first before water. And so you are evaporating the alcohol. You are recondensing this alcohol into a clear spirit, being alcohol or spirit. And then it goes into the barrels. In the case of brandy or the case of bourbon or whiskey, it goes into the barrels, and that's how it gets its beautiful amber, golden yellow color from barrel aging.
And so that's a really interesting process. And it took a bit, I imagine, for you to set up for that.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, and I wish the law would change, and it might again. As much as you can make wine at home and beer at home, it is against the law to experiment with distilling.
Huh.
So how is one to go about learning? You need a still. You need to be aware of a lot of safety issue because you are dealing with heat to boil the liquid.
Sure.
You are generating alcohol vapor, so you want to be watchful against explosion and so on.
And what from brandy itself? Where does the alcohol? Is it from grapes? Where does it all come from?
You know, when we say brandy, like a brandy old fashioned, brandy is from grapes. Brandy is from wine. So The cognac way of doing a fine brandy is to harvest grapes on a greener side, not fully ripe. So, and because you are going to use the acid as a preserving the wine instead of sulfite. So, really low sugar, low alcohol, high acid, and it gives you a lot, a very floral, very fine brandy like a cognac. So you make the wine, and you can distill this wine right away around Christmas time. Soon as the wine is finished, you run it through the still. You collect the alcohol, the unaged white spirit, put it into the barrels for 2 years, and it becomes brandy.
What is the... what sets one brandy apart from another brandy?
I would say the soil, the choice of grapes, and which barrels were used. But so if a Pinot Noir grape or a Cabernet or a French Colombard, or in our case, our Wisconsin native grapes, La Crosse and St. Pepin, we'll have the wine. The wine will be of different taste and different flavor, and the soil imparting that it will taste slightly different. And on top of that, if you add a Wisconsin oak, French oak, American oak, Eastern European oak, it's all going to be different again.
Of course,
and that's why you know that's the beauty of it, because each. Each winery or each distillery can craft their own product and become known for that specialty product.
How does brandy, you know, actually Grant emailed in and wondered if you were going to start making, if you have plans to produce whiskey, and how long should brandy be matured before, well, you talked about this, how long should it be matured before being released?
So legally speaking, brandy has to be in the barrels for 2 years. But it's best yet if it can sit in the barrel 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. And we are so looking forward and looking ahead to have some of our brandy age 4 or 5 years. Right now we have a couple barrels of the Cocard brandy that are going on 3.5 years. And believe me, like we say in Wisconsin, believe you me, it's it's really good. It's so much better than a 2-year-old brandy. So... as we are building up the inventory of barrels, down the road we will have 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old brandy out of the barrels, and that is great. Whiskey, yes, we have whiskey in the works. Whiskey is from grain. All the grains are locally grown, a mile on each side of the winery, wheat, rye, specialty corn, and so we... My son-in-law, Tom, is the distiller. He will create his own mash bill, percentage of the different grain, run it through the hammer mill, into the cooker, get the fermentation going. So everything is done in-house, and that's the beauty of it.
Oh, and you're, I'm looking at your three bottles. You have three bottles in front of me now, the 4-year-old Cocard brandy, and then... the press house, you should talk about that. What's the difference between those, the press house brandy, which is your new one, and this, your original?
So the press house, interestingly enough, you know, we called it 1876 press house brandy. 1876 is the first time we can see on the winery ledger books that they sold brandy in 1876.
Wow.
And they made brandy to fortify the wine, growing Native American grapes such as Catawba, Delaware, Niagara, Concord, are usually low sugar content, low alcohol content. So they would boost the alcohol content so the wine would self-preserve. At 16% of alcohol, nothing can happen to a wine. So that's how they did it in 1876. And Press House is the historical name of the old building at the winery. So, and we are using some Native American grapes, Cayuga, Catawba, Delaware, in this brandy. The grapes are grown in New York State, and we are using American oak instead of all Wisconsin on the Cocard brandy. So it is a little bit I would call it user-friendly, a little bit sweeter, a little bit softer. And we've designed, and our intention on this brandy is supper club, cocktail, brandy old-fashioned.
Okay.
When the Coquard brandy is...
That's more a sipping brandy.
More sipping brandy, more what you would compare to a cognac.
Yeah. Philippe Coquard, our guest today, having some fun with him today, talking about Made in Wisconsin, brandies and other spirits. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page, title, The Larry Mueller Show. Jill from Rhinelander called in to remind people that brandy is gluten-free.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, we also have other things that you're producing as well, and I'm taking a look right now at Garden Gate Gin.
Garden Gate Gin, Dance Hall Absinthe. We also have Pear Eau de Vie, Apple Eau de Vie, and Apple Brandy. And the first whiskeys will be sometime next year, including a rye whiskey and a regular whiskey. Bourbon will be 4 years down the road based on taste. But the Garden Gate Gin...
You had some lavender, a picture, right, or part of a lavender plant right on the bottle.
And the Garden Gate is right behind Celine and Tom's house where Julie grew up. That used to be the garden where Bob and Joanne used to garden. And there's a beautiful picture of Bob standing by this Garden Gate. We experimented, Tom and Celine experimented a lot using only Wisconsin-grown botanical for the gin and the absinthe. So if we cannot find it in Wisconsin, we will not put it into our lines of botanical. This gin has a lot of lemongrass and lavender, so very aromatic, herbal, not so much pine.
That part of it is that makes it quite unique.
Very unique, and it's very trendy. The wheat is grown a mile down the road from the winery, so we bring the wheat to the distillery, crush it, ferment it, distill the base, and then Tom will distill it again with all the botanical and in. Tom is really on top of his game and really likes crafting those spirits.
So that's actually distilled twice then?
Yeah, it's distilled twice. Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, join in with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. As we visit with Philippe Coquard, we can talk the whole process of distilling. I would certainly get into grapes as well. If you have questions about grapes, I hope you'll join in too. 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Malik Anderson, our on-air producer today. I'm Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's take some calls and Betsy in River Falls up next. Betsy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, you guys. Woohoo, you're talking about my favorite stuff, brandy.
Okay.
Yeah, I called one time on your weather show and said, do I have to quit drinking brandy? Because I had seen a mesocyclone go down my road, and the weather guy said I didn't have to quit drinking brandy, so that's a good thing. So I want to know where in River Falls or environs I could get your lovely brandy, sir.
What I will do is I will advise you to call the winery, 1-800-VIP-WINE.
Okay.
And they can help you with a list of store. I think our sales manager is on site today and might be able to help you as well.
Oh.
You If it is not distributed right now, I will say it will be in the next few weeks. You should be able to find gin, absinthe, and the Coquard brandy in some stores. The new press house brandy will hit the shelves in October and November in large quantities.
So. Good. That'll be my Christmas present to myself.
Awesome.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. What's the is one? What was it again?
1-800-VIP-WINE.
1-800-VIP-WINE. So that's pretty cool. Absinthe. You mentioned absinthe, and that has gained in popularity. What is it about absinthe?
Absinthe was outlawed. I think starting in France in 1800. Because it was thought to make you cuckoo or make you crazy. And this was challenged about 10 years ago in the U.S., and it is proven to be safe. And it is all matter of quantity and party per million or party per billion of attusion. And so it is legal again, and it is very anise-like black licorice.
Okay.
It has wormwood, coriander, and it is extremely popular.
I'm really almost surprised. I suppose it's kind of new again, so.
Exactly, and it's used in cocktail, and there is a. A renewed interest in old-fashioned cocktail. You see competition, bartender competition, using all sorts of tricks and ways to make outstanding cocktail, and it's fun to see how popular absinthe has become again.
Well, let's turn to John in Green Bay next. John, hi, thank you for calling.
That was quick. I just got off the phone. The question I have for Philippe is, the amount of sugar in wine, you know, sugar has become a big thing. What's the difference between sugar in wine and sugar that I buy at the grocery store?
Okay. Dry wines, such as a Chardonnay, a Pinot Noir, Domaine du Sac, Domaine Reserve, a dry red, a dry wine does not have any sugar. All the sugar has been transformed into alcohol. However, if you get a semi-sweet, semi-dry wine, those could have natural sugar left from the grapes as we stop the fermentation. For instance, the Prairie Fumé or our dry Riesling, our white Riesling, have no sugar added. They are naturally sweet from the grapes. We stop the fermentation. So that is mostly fructose. Some wines might have had sugar added, and if you ask the winery and they tell you it's 5%, so it's going to be close to 50 gram of sugar per liter. So that is a concern for those not wanting to drink sweet liquid. So I would stick to a dry wine if you can.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I do.
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And as the grapes, I took a wine class many years ago, but I remember the person talking about how the grapes would be harvested at different times, and as like there were some that were right at the very end, just before winter really sets in.
Oh yeah, and that's how wine is made. We wait for the appropriate time to pick the grapes. So for the Prairie Fumé, I cannot make Prairie Fumé if it's 14% sugar or if it's 23% sugar. The best number for the Prairie Fumé is around 19% sugar because you have just enough hint of sweetness and enough alcohol to support the flavors. The white Riesling, which is a semi-sweet, 9% of alcohol, but I want to leave 2.5% or sometimes 3% of natural sweetness. So you pick that a lot later. Ice wine is picked frozen to have the most sugar possible available.
Now back to the brandy and your other spirits. You have an event. I won't definitely want to mention that. Let's talk about that now. Coming up Saturday.
Yeah, tomorrow and Saturday. So tomorrow we are opening the doors at 10, and the event goes until 5. There is a self-guided tour of the distillery, so you can walk through where we have the two still, and into the grain fermentation room. There's a lot of displays explaining how much wine it takes to make a barrel of brandy. The grains, all the stuff is on hand to answer the question. There is a lot of tasting going on of the brandies and some cocktail. And we are releasing the Press House brandy, which is brand new to us, as well as Coca Number 4.
So you can buy them
at the winery. Yeah. And Saturday we have food provided by Blue Spoon Cafe. And we also have music on site Saturday. So should be a fun event. And the weather seemed to be perfect, not too hot, and past the storms. So.
So there we go. Mike in Madison wonders where you get your barrels.
We get barrels from, depending on which product. On the Press House brandy, we are using Missouri oak. We work with a cooper out of California, and their name is Radu. They are a French cooperage making wine barrel and spirit barrel in California. For the Coquard brandy, we are using only Wisconsin oak. And the logs are harvested in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. The staves are cut in Minnesota. The staves come back to us on site, and it is seasoned at the winery for 2 years. We will ship the stave, or we ship the stave to California, where they custom make the barrels. And we are, and we have, and we are continuing to work on perfectioning the taste of the Wisconsin oak barrel. And that's kind of, if we have a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
The cooper wanted us to use French oak because French oak is known to be the best. And wanting to stick true to our Wisconsin roots with Wisconsin native grapes, Wisconsin soil, Wisconsin weather, I only wanted to use Wisconsin oak barrels. And we got into a little feisty fight. It pretty much told him, hey, buddy, I'm the customer. Let's try different heat level, toast level. What is going to bring the best out of the Wisconsin oak? And we came up with the Philippe toast. And so we are still in the process of perfectioning that toast. Wisconsin oak is indeed different than Missouri, than Minnesota, than Appalachian, than Eastern European. So
it's all the soil.
It's the soil, it's the weather, Jack Daniel use a lot of Northern American Minnesota and Wisconsin oak as well. So,
so when you talk about toast, it's
the heat exposure to the stave. And some of it is done in a big baking oven where the staves are cooked for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 50 minutes, and so on. And then after that, the toast is a light burning without catching on fire. On the whiskey, on brandy and wine, we stopped at the toast level.
Okay.
Soon as we talk whiskey and especially bourbon, then we talk charred, and the staves are on fire on the inside of the barrels.
So this happens after the barrels are made.
During the process,
okay.
Before they put the head.
Okay.
Before they put the head, and So on the whiskey side or the bourbon side, then you can request a char 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. So the degree of burning inside of the barrel.
So is this guy coming around to your way of thinking now? Or
yeah. Yes. And big time. it's neat because I feel really good because what is going to help us right now will certainly help other distillers and winemaker down the road. And
sure, this guy's going to be making it for other people too.
Absolutely. And so we are always willing to experiment. You know, we will throw two or three new barrel in a batch and try, and let's try this, let's try this cooper, let's try what you call U-stave, where they are grooved. So it's neat.
It's pretty neat. Gene in Medford, your turn. Hi, Gene.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right, my question is, you mentioned that the brandy, the older the better. Okay.
Older the better in the sense of aged in the barrels.
Aged in the barrels.
Yeah, because once it is bottled, and I'm glad you bring that up, and we will get back to the heart of your question, but a lot of people come to me and say, hey, I bought a brandy and it's 20 years old. I have had it for 20 years in the bottle. It hasn't changed. when we say older the better, length of aging time in the barrels.
In the barrels.
So aged 5 years, aged 10 years, aged 20 years in a barrel, that is the best of the best.
All right. So if I have a bottle that's been open for 10 years but not all gone, that's probably just toss it?
No, I won't toss it. It open for 10 years, it might have slightly oxidized, but it doesn't mean it's bad.
Oh.
It will have evaporated a little bit. It open for 10 years doesn't mean it's bad. I would encourage you to taste a little bit of it. If you question the quality, you could make a cocktail with it, and you can always cook with it. The alcohol will evaporate. You will have some of the flavors left. But open for 10 years doesn't mean it's bad.
Excellent.
Okay.
Then I won't toss it.
No, no,
right,
don't
there
toss
you
it.
Go. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you so much, too. Have a good day.
Well, we have Karen, who sent an email in to ask suggestions for making... Is it creme de cassis?
Creme de cassis.
With her currants.
Yeah, so black currant is in fashion because it contains a lot of anthocyanin, antioxidantic property. And so creme de cassis is like a liqueur. So you could, what I would advise you to do is take some black currant when they are nice and ripe, crush them, and let them soak into some neutral spirit. A neutral spirit could be a vodka, could be a unaged grape brandy. Let them soak, and then after weeks or months of soaking, you strain the liquid out, and then you can start to add a simple syrup and sweetening it to your taste. So it will likely cut the alcohol content and make a creme de cassis. And creme de cassis can be used in cocktail or with a glass of white wine, and we call that a kir.
Robert asked if why oak is used for barrels instead of some other wood.
We often get this question. Oak, because it is a tight wood and it does not leak.
Oh.
It also has the same kind of tannin that grape have. But I think the true reason is the fact that it does not leak, that it stays tight.
And what happens, John, I think, wanted to know, why is this 20 years in a barrel?
It's softening, maturation, picking up the sweetness of the oak barrels, some of the harshness. The harshness, it could also be expressed by heat. When you drink an alcoholic spirit, it's hot. Wow, the older it is in the barrel, the less hot it feels. Because it has gained a lot of the tannin from the wood, a lot of the sweetness from the leaning of the wood, the charring or the toasting of the barrels. And believe me, I have tasted a cognac that had been in a barrel 70 years, 7-0.
Oh.
70 years in a... It was mind-boggling how good it was. I have never yet tasted anything better than that.
Wow. And what would you pay for a bottle of that?
You don't.
That's when you get one sip and that's it.
Exactly. And it was tasted it out of the barrels.
Wow.
At my sister's family through connection. So, unfortunately, I won't be able to experience that out of my own barrels, but my grandson will.
Oh, my goodness me. So you plan to keep it going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's looking at into the future with the winery and the distillery. It is built for many generations to come. Past Julie and I, our kids and grandkids. So,
do you have Chris wondered from Wisconsin Dells if you plan on making sherry or vermouth?
Sherry, not vermouth. Yes, and we are experimenting right now. The challenge is to stick to our belief of only Wisconsin ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Vermouth usually start with a white wine base, but when you see the color of vermouth, it is kind of maroon, brownish.
Yeah.
And it is coming from an exotic wood bark, which we do not want to use. Because so we are looking at other chicory, sumac, other ingredient to obtain that bitterness or that vermouth like. So give us, I would say, a couple months, and I would say next year we will get more serious about having a vermouth. Wisconsin made vermouth.
Very cool, John from Denmark. Wondered who malts your local grains before fermentation?
We do use malted barley, and that we buy here in Wisconsin. We have not yet worked with local malting. We are thinking about it. Searching, wondering. Eventually, we will. But in our process, we only need 5-10% of malted grain. The rest of it doesn't have to be.
And Adam wondered if you ever made wild grape wine.
No, that's one thing I haven't. Having 30 acres of commercially grown grape. However, I have tasted some really good homemade wild grapes wine. It does require some water, which we don't add in our wines. We don't start with water, but wild berries will require some water, some sugar for soaking and fermentation.
Well, you know, I want to go back. We're getting nearer the end. I want to go back to your event. And I also wanted to mention concerts at the Cave, because I thought that was pretty cool.
Yes, so we I don't have the newsletter, but we have two concerts, and we have one in July and one in August.
And I had those dates down somewhere, and
Monday, July 18th. It's a Wednesday, Monday, July 18th at 5:30, and Wednesday, August 10th. And up by the Cave, we will have two band, two concert. Should be a lot of fun. nice and relaxing.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. But the event coming up tomorrow and Saturday, that's the near one. So let's go back to that.
So the grounds open at 8 a.m., but the event starts at 10, between 10 and 5, Friday and Saturday. Self-guided tour at the distillery, tasting of the press house brandy, the coca brandy, the gin. We also have cocktail available. We also have wine available. The winery is open. We have regular tour at the winery and the distillery. So we will release the new press house brandy and coca number 4. Saturday, we have food on site by Blue Spoon Cafe, and we have also a great band that has played for us many times before for the grand opening of the distillery. They've played. It's a really fun rock jazz band on Saturday.
Oh, and maybe we got time for one more quick question. Craig in Wausau?
Hello.
Hi, yeah. What's on your mind?
I spent a couple of weeks in Ukraine and stayed with different farmers and was treated to the homemade vodka that Grandma made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never have been able to find anything that tasted like that here, and I'm wondering what was different about that.
Well, you know, they are some outstanding locally made vodka. One that I can recall is Henrix, I think. They use potato. Vodka can be made from grain, grapes, or potato. And I won't be surprised that the one you tasted in Ukraine with potato base. But I'm sure if you Google Wisconsin-made vodka potato, you will find two or three brands. And I think it's called Pure Glass Vodka, and it's, I'm quite sure it's Hendrix family, nice people, and make outstanding vodka. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, your event, and boy, your event, you timed it great. It's Father's Day weekend, so
absolutely,
it's perfect timing. And we have, on our Facebook page, we have a link to your website, but your website is
Wollersheim.com.
Wollersheim.com, and we have a link on our Facebook page. Philippe, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you, Larry.
He'll be back. We'll talk with him again. Philippe Coquart, winemaker of the award-winning Wollersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac. And tell you what, they're making a lot of good brandies and some gin. And it's interesting to talk about Wisconsin-made products.